Okay. And you'll say.
Welcome. Oh, sorry. You're gonna say it? Okay. One, two, three. Welcome to the In-Hope Podcast, where we address different topics to help strengthen unity in the body of Christ. Yeah?
I'm gonna do it.
You're gonna say unity?
Yeah.
Say it. Say unity.
Unity!
Yay! Welcome to the In Hope Podcast, where each Monday we drop a new episode talking about how we can strengthen the unity of the body of Christ. Hey, welcome to the second half of this conversation with Bill and Hannah from the Biblical Study Center. You may hear a little bubble guppies in the background. I thought it was only fitting with introing the second half because you're going to get a lot more of the background noise in this conversation. But listen closely. Again, this was such a great conversation. Lots of great things to take away from the second half as well. And we want to thank them just for being such a gracious host. And check out how you can display some radical hospitality with them there at the BSU campus. At the Biblical Study Center.
Like, let's talk about the heart side of things.
Exactly.
And what it means to listen. Listening takes patience.
Absolutely.
It is but I also think it's one of the most loving things we can do. If we're going to love our neighbor, listen to them.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the partnerships with the ministries, I did already express this before. I think, did I summarize hospitality? Did I leave that? You know, but anyway, we want to create a space where people can be fully known and fully loved and give them a chance. You know, so that really is the heart side, I think. It's relational heart.
Absolutely.
But then the partnerships is, if there's anything that's strategic, it's that. But I also think, you know, when I first started here, I remember that first week, I realized what a heart I had for the other campus ministers. And it wasn't listed on our...
Yeah.
On our bylaws, other than being a unifier on campus. But I know what it's like to wander around.
Yeah.
And you are there on campus with a backpack and a Bible and a phone, and you're just like, what am I doing? I have friends making partner in law firm, and I'm like, it's like, and nobody understands what I do. Our kids are embarrassed to say what I do. It's like the whole thing is like, but I think it started by being an encouragement for the other ministers. I wanted this to be a welcoming place, not just for students, but for a campus minister to kind of come and just exhale for a little bit. And sometimes it was offering them parking, was offering them a place to have an afternoon or prayer morning to do discipleship appointments. And
absolutely.
And then the other thing was, when I was inviting campus ministers here, I was just confirmed in me how they would respond to that. And it's very interesting at first to have people that you reach out to, and we are so used to there's a catch involved in everything. What's the string? Yeah. What's the thing attached? And this is like, I funny, because I kind of had two convictions that coalesced or collided in my mind about how I wanted to run this place. One is, with regard to the partnerships, I read about a plaque that was on President Ronald Reagan's desk that said, and I don't know where the quote was from, but it said, it's amazing how much can get accomplished when no one cares who gets the credit.
Exactly.
And I thought, okay, that's what I want to see happen here.
Yeah.
So far as I can be a contributor, because obviously I'm one person, that's everyone.
Yeah.
And then Howard Hendricks was the chaplain for the Dallas Cowboys in the 70s, and he was a professor at Dallas Theological Seminary for over 50 years. And he had this great How to Lead and Motivate cassette tape that I got a hold of from 1972.
Come on.
And I actually,
come on.
Exactly.
Some of y'all don't even know what a cassette tape is.
He had a way of turning a phrase that you would never forget. I never had to write this down. As a leader, you're trying to motivate people. He said, if you want them to bleed, you have to hemorrhage. And I never thought about that, but I never forgot that.
Wow.
But what I was thinking of was, okay, if I'm going to be a part of this group of people who doesn't care who gets the credit, guess what? I need to hemorrhage in that. I need to lead in a way which says, well, hey, I've got a chip in the big game here because I have a building that's useful.
Yeah.
And my only requirement was, well, please try to, you know, leave no trace, like clean up and be that.
Exactly.
But really, I would, with a wry smile, I'd say, you're not using the facility. we are partnering together. Mm-hmm. Over and over, I said that dozens and hundreds of times to people, because I wanted them, even in a joking way, to get used to the fact that, you know, so okay, we're partnering.
Yeah.
Fine. When can I have the room? It's like, okay. You know, but seriously, I do think over time you keep hammering and hammering and hammering. I believe there's a group of ministers on campus who really see it and treat it like a partnership now.
That's
where it
good.
Started before it wasn't that.
Yeah.
And it's very deliberate. My home church back in Oregon, First Baptist Church, one of the things we loved is every week they the pastoral prayer.
Yeah.
They pray, they'd pick a different church in town, they would pray for them. They'd list the pastor by name.
Exactly.
Yeah, I tell you what, that models something that is different than we're out for number one.
And exactly.
It's hard to, when someone's so convinced that, oh, you know, this is the world we live in, you know, you're out for number one here. It takes a while. And finally, it's almost like you see this little needle click to the other side. It's like, hey, you really just want to help me be the best minister I can be.
Yeah.
And it changes things. And I think that's part of the vibe here. I don't know. What's your experience with that kind, I guess, that leg of the stool, Banana?
Yeah, I think it's really cool. I think it's a rare thing, honestly, just to have like everyone just helping each other. We're all on the same team. I really feel that here. Morgan from FCA, like she'll, FCM. She'll like come here and do our lunches for us.
Family, sometimes. Campus, missionaries. What's the name
Foundations,
of
her? College. Foundation College Ministry.
Oh, yeah. Foundation name. College Ministry.
Nice. Anyways.
I did that deliberately because she jokes that I'd never, ever remember her. Right? And she's kind of right. It's like, dude, forget that.
She'll come and like do our lunches, you know, a few times a semester, you know, and just provide all the food and do everything. And then I was able to help, which I was super, it was just really cool to be able to go. And they do a lunch on Tuesday. I was able to help with that. And it's just such a sweet thing. I don't know. Yeah. It's just, you have to have discernment in it too. Because it's not just like, oh, whoever you are, we're just going to, you're welcome here to whatever you're doing.
Yeah. No, we will not tell the stories, but there has been a couple of moments where it's like, whoa, probably won't do this again.
You know? Yeah. So we just kind of a learning curve with that.
Yeah.
Because you want to have unity, but you also want to have discernment and know who's here, what are they doing.
Yeah.
And because we do partner together, it's like, you know, whoever's here, we're
well, and it's going to be
what I'm thinking about, don't you?
I think that's, I think it's great that you guys have those experiences because it goes to show that when you step into wanting to be a unifier, right? When you step into wanting to practice partnership with others and work in unity, that there are going to be some stumbles along the way. There's going to be some pit stops. There's going to be some mistakes that happen.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean we should throw it all out the door.
Precisely.
We still need to leave that door open. It just means that we're learning and we're growing. I feel like, I mean, what would happen if when Jesus, after Jesus called the 12 disciples, you know, the first mistakes that they made, Jesus was like, oh, this isn't working. Like, let's get a whole new band in here.
Right.
Or this isn't working. We're going to have to go another method. This whole discipleship thing is just, it's not going to work. Right.
Plan B.
Right. So I think that's great. And the fact that you guys have had those mistakes, but you haven't close the door after them.
Right.
I don't think we've ever talked about this, Hannah, but I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, I think I saw in you, I don't know, a growth path or a change of mind with some of the groups where you just kind of basically kind of a, do I trust them? I don't think I do. Why do you trust them? Or, I mean, that's maybe overstating a little bit, just a caution to not just a full on mindless embrace, but just, I think, I'm putting words in your mouth,
but
just kind of embracing the value of this, even within the wrestling, where it's like, you know, because I do think in Christianity, it's difficult for us to agree or affirm anything without this sense that we're wholesale endorsing probably mostly the sin in their life and position. You know, it's like, I'm not saying there's, you know, the sin, but just like maybe people do things a little bit different way or there's a different focal point and in their ministry. It's like, why are they wasting their time on that when they could be? It's like, let's get in the Bible.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, well, let's step back and see what they're trying to accomplish.
Yeah.
So well, I think I put words in your mouth there.
And I'm sorry because I'm stepping on you too here. But just with what you said, I think that's really important that when we're partnering with people, it doesn't mean that we're wholesale endorsing everything that they say, everything that they do. This is exactly how we would have done it.
Right.
That's not exactly what that means. It's where we're opening up the doors a little bit here to different expressions, the different ways of doing things, even if it's not the exact same way we would, because we agree on this. Yeah. We agree on Jesus is the one way to heaven. We agree that scripture is inspired and we need to get that in every home and in front of people. So it's...
Well, I say we as Christians need to model to the world how to agree to disagree.
Thank you.
And I think there's a broadening of our soul that takes place when you can have a good friend.
Yeah.
I love C.S. Lewis talks about this. He wrote in one of his essays, I found that my good friends are not the ones that I necessarily agree on all the answers with.
Absolutely.
But we agree on what the important questions are.
Yeah, exactly.
And I've got people in my life that we are sometimes fairly close, but there's some significant, I could not hold that position in clear conscience. And to me, it's flat out rebellious, sinful. However, we can agree in these things and I'm not going to sweep you under the bus or with a rug or whatever and throw you off.
You mean you're not going to cancel them?
I've tried. No, that's where I just think, and I do, it's hard because the Hannah and I go across because she's a little bit more of a, she's ready to, she's talking about a line in the sand like she wants to talk. And I'm not, I feel like I'm ready to take a bullet in the head for Jesus anytime. It's like, oh, really? Yes. My Lord and Savior? Yes.
Yeah.
Died on the cross? Yes. Boom. Take it. Mm-hmm. That'd be so easy.
Yeah.
But accepting someone who, well, we just had there's a guy who wandered in here with some very different views and kind of on the basis of time.
Mm.
We just kind of came to a point where I said, you know, I think we simply disagree. And he very, I'd say arrogantly, just said, you're wrong. And I kind of smiled back. I said, actually, you're wrong. Now I like trying to think in 11 years how many times I've actually, maybe it's because it's my last week.
It's like,
you know what I'm just going to say? It's like, I'm sorry, you're wrong. And if we talk about it, as confident as you are that you're going to be right in the end, I know that I'm going to be right in the end on that one. That's pretty darn rare.
Because
I just think, you know, you leave that people make decisions later on. You know, the seeds are planted. They go home. They think about it. This happened to Hannah on campus earlier this semester. Someone came up to her. We were out there tabling on campus, and she was just interacting with whoever walked up. We had some question, and some guy walks up to her and says, hey, I just want to tell you, we talked, a month ago or so?
It was the previous fall.
Oh, so was that long ago?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you talked to me last fall.
Time flies. Yeah,
thank you. Thank you. And he said, I want you to know you changed my mind on abortion. And just by her reason, how many nights had he slept on that and when did his mind change? I don't think it was 24 hours. I think it was months, maybe.
Absolutely.
But
it's funny because sometimes we walk away from a conversation feeling like it needs to be resolved right then.
Yeah.
Right there.
See that, what you're talking about is part of my growth process in the my part, God's part of ministry.
Yeah. Yeah.
And faithfulness to do this, to be there. And like even this guy I just, you know, kind of described my encounter with, I do think there's times to gently, but to be firm in a smile. It's like you're going to a pretty arrogant place here.
Yeah.
And I'm going to smilingly tell you that I believe I'm more certain and more right than you are on this. Mm-hmm. That's extremely rare. I mean, I honestly, I can't remember ever doing that.
Yeah.
It's because of my last week. Because you've seen me be, you think I'm a flake. I think.
No. I think you have very strong convictions too. And you'll stand firm on when it's important to you. And you have a good sense of where that line is for sure. Talking about the whole like target of convictions is super helpful for me, you know, because I definitely have like a lot of opinions about things and like, which can get me into trouble sometimes. But even when it comes to unity,
Hannah's like, I will die for anything.
Yeah. So like kind of breaking down, okay, wait a second. What are the things I will die for?
Mm-hmm.
What are the things that are worth, you know, dividing over? So, man, we just can't see eye to eye here. And we actually have to part ways because it's such a big deal.
And even those, I think it's like, okay, I'm not going to come egg your church.
No.
Yeah.
We're just going to say we're going
to part ways.
And some of those aren't even like my wife has said, when I get to heaven, I'm going straight for gospel worship. None of this. Like, she's like, I don't want this. I don't know. What she does. Anyway, I don't get my wife in trouble here, but she just it's like that. Just there's just a there's a life and vibrancy to it that she just loves.
That's awesome.
And everyone can have their.
Yeah.
Their
Everyone's got to have their flavor.
And so you have to. Sometimes it's just, it's not like, it's not even a deep conviction, like you guys are wrong and I'm right. It's just, we know it's a preference and this music is being played in that building.
Exactly.
And this other music, and I want to be in that building, but it doesn't, you know, there are things where we have to say, you know what? I really think you're wrong. Let's go back to that guy that I think he's honestly out in left field with his beliefs, you know, just kind of like he thinks he invented a whole new form of, I don't know, physics or something. It's like, you know, you're just, you're not.
The Bible, actually. He has his own Bible.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got his own Bible and stuff. And I think, okay, I don't need to be his enemy.
No.
How can I be his friend?
Mm-hmm.
And even Christ would say, you know, love your enemies and pray for those who are persecuted.
Exactly.
It's like, okay, how can I do that? Yeah. And so anyway, I look at that and just say, I think this is really important. That's a part of. So the partnerships, and obviously when you go back to the whole partnerships thing, talking about other campus ministries, we want to see Christ magnified. We want to see students reached in a way, and this is the part, you want to lead them to it, but you want that seed to germinate. You know,
exactly.
That seed has to germinate in everyone's individual heart between them and the Lord.
Yep.
And I need to leave it there.
Exactly.
I just, no manipulative sales tactics.
Uh-huh.
And demonstrating in a way that they hopefully get, that they can understand that I will love you no matter what, no matter how you respond to this, no matter if you come next week and people are so used to that if I have the right answer, then you'll like me more and I'll be more accepted. And I, you know, honestly, that's, of course, that's human. I have to fight against that.
And I'm
honest, I think too, about, it's like, we're all going to have our favorites. It's like, I mean, I've told Hannah, it's like, okay, you're my favorite. Like she knows it. It's like, okay, but it's not like, okay, I love Hannah, therefore more than I love some other student that comes to the, you know, because she's checked more boxes and she agrees with me and all these things.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
No, I, you know, we all have natural inclinations, things that we enjoy, personalities that click.
Mm-hmm.
And part, she's just so picking helpful to me. It's, I was like, oh, thank you. You know, but she does so much around here. But,
But I feel like that in itself is a big factor when it comes to different ministries working together and us acting in unity, even beyond places of disagreement.
Yeah.
It's easier to work past disagreement when we see that we're helpful to each other still.
Amen.
When we see that and when we feel blessed by each other. I have some of my closest friends, we disagree on different topics, but there's no way I'm going to write them out of my life. Like I would lose so much.
Yeah.
And there's even different forms of commitment. The moral sense is that this is right. I'm going to commit because this is right or this is wrong. I'm committed to this organization. I'm committed to these people because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to unity, especially when it comes to unity within the body of Christ, I would say we should all have a high level of moral commitment. We should.
Agreed.
And that's just simply because Jesus told us to.
Yeah.
So that just kind of goes to that moral level of commitment. But that idea of you're committed because you know how much you're going to lose, how much is tied up with it. So it's kind of like if you're in a job and you're saying, I'm committed to this organization, not because I'm all highly morally committed. I feel like it's the right thing, or because, you know, I have these affectionate relationships here. I'm committed because I know I'm going to lose great benefits and I'm going to lose. It's this idea of, you know, how much is tied up in that relationship.
Right.
And I think there's something to that. If we could strengthen those relationships with one another.
Yeah.
Where we know, okay, I'm going to lose a close friend.
Yeah.
Over this, if I choose to die on this hill, right? If I choose, and I'm going to lose someone who's been very beneficial. And especially when it comes to ministries, a ministry partner that has been highly beneficial for those that we're ministering to and impacting the kingdom that we've been.
You're not preaching now. You're meddling. Careful.
It's something to think about, because obviously you have to weigh those things, right? Yeah. You don't want to get in bed with an enemy and say, you know, we're not going to break this tie because we're just so tied up with it. But can't that also work in a positive way?
Sure.
Maybe we should foster those relationships with one another to where we see the benefits there.
Well, I think how you do that is by building trust in other areas.
Yeah.
To, you know, because we start. And we think either this person's an idiot or they're just pure evil, you know, or a blend of evil and idiocy. But you get to know people, and I've got people that I know are friend, long term friends, who are they're not Christians. They're on different ends of the political spectrum. Although I try not to have that be anywhere close to my primary identity. I really want to identify with Christ and reach out to people wherever they are. I mean, at the end of the day, I've got ways that I'll vote, and I also see how things are linked to a biblical worldview. And it's like, I'm sorry, you can say whatever you want here or there, but this is where the truth lands. That's what makes the most sense. So, but you know, there are people that have, because of common experiences together, and there's a bond of friendship there that I would sacrifice for them, and we have, you know, the friendship still holds together. We don't spend a lot of time camping out on things that are areas of disagreement.
Yeah.
Now, some friendships, I think there's some wisdom. Yeah,
there.
the right friendships, I think, and I want to be the kind of person that's magnanimous enough to be able to do that better. I think that it's a battle. You know, we've talked about this, Hannah. Yeah. Just the times when you're thinking, okay, when do I say something? Mm. Or when do I make my disagreement on this issue very clear, crystal clear? Because you do. And there's definitely wisdom there. I don't think it's just a cookie cutter, never, ever say anything. But I think if we're not walking up to at least the line, we're experiencing some sort of, I don't know, relational discomfort. It's like, wow, this is awkward all of a sudden for me.
Yeah.
I think you're not even in the game if you don't have that. Because you're just staying away from anyone that is like, well, I don't think I'm going to like them, or I already know I disagree, so I'm not going to talk to them. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, let's be constantly building into the fabric of our lives here. How do you be an ambassador if you're never engaging with anyone who's a citizen of a different country?
It's like trying to get strong without bringing your muscles to a point of tension.
Yeah.
Personal trainer talking. I mean,
are you personally making a comment on that? No,
just, I mean, that's just kind of what comes to my mind.
Is he just, man, I can't believe that.
But I mean, that absolutely. People will hear me say, if people have listened to me long enough, they'll hear me say, God is just outside of your comfort zone.
Hmm. Yeah.
Like just out, he's waiting for you just outside of that comfort zone. And I think that's big, because especially when it comes in relationship with others, I truly believe that unity and pursuing unity, it's part of a sanctification process.
Put all my chips in that.
Yeah.
Your daughter just dropped all the chips.
Exactly, right? But I mean, you think about, that's why people will, a lot of times, those who are married will refer to marriage as a sanctification process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's two becoming one, right?
Mostly for the man.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, absolutely. But it is. It's two becoming one. And in that, trying to develop that unity and grow in that union, that relationship, you are sanctified. Like, you will be.
If you take that analogy further, I mean, there's ways. I've been married, it'll be 29 years this June. And there are things that I have, just more like attitudes that I've kind of held on to, that I've given up. And for the sake of peace and unity in the relationship,
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I get to him, it's like, why was I that way for so long?
Mm.
And,
yeah,
don't want Hannah to hear this, but there was some ego involved for me.
I got ego.
She thinks I'm great. You know? No, but yeah, Lori and I just look at, there's ways that I've looked and said, oh, I'm so sorry. Mm. You have really put up with me in ways that you couldn't even have communicated.
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't have really listened with a
wow
open ear if you had.
Yeah.
But just little subtle ways that I was selfish or egotistical about something.
Mm.
And giving that up, it opens the door to such better, you know, just such a better relationship.
Yeah.
More peace and joy. And, you know, you look at the history of the church. You take the pillar of unity and the pillar of purity,
uh-huh,
and the tension that grows there.
Yeah.
I have a lot of respect for people that care about both and yeah will do whatever they can.
Yeah.
To maintain
yeah
both. Like I will, I try to do that. Like I yeah want genuine biblical. I believe in.
Yeah. Absolutely.
The inspiration of scripture. I'm an inerrantist. Mm-hmm. And then, like, can we keep it in, you know, because at the end of the day, Jesus is the one who's going to separate the sheep from the goat.
Exactly.
There is wheat and chaff. He's not talking about the world. He's talking about the church.
Church.
Yeah. It is not my job to separate the wheat from the chaff now. Now, there's definite examples in scripture
mm-hmm
where someone's out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's, but even that is done in community.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not done in a solo effort, one person to another. It's done in community.
That, yeah.
With, so there's this.
It's just different than canceling, isn't it?
Which is definitely different right than canceling. It's yeah so you have a unified aspect in there where yeah the church is acting in unity, and it's done in a way that's progressive,
yeah,
that seeks unity.
Right.
It's not done in a way that seeks
Matthew
to
18
cancel. Yeah.
Matthew 18 is incredibly powerful because
yeah
when's the last time you went to someone alone in private mm-hmm to chat with that person about an issue that you see for the sake of restoration?
Right.
I mean, we don't have anything close to biblical.
Well, and then the middle step, I feel like, is just as important.
Another friend,
right?
Yeah,
another
right
friend,
yeah.
And just to go they, with yeah a smaller group, right? To with one or two others, and not one or two others that you know are
right
you know
change
gonna help you gain up on that person,
yeah.
But one or two others that person knows they love them too, right? And that there's a so it's I feel like that's important.
I've tried to be that here. I know it'll be very interesting. You know, we'll have to chat next year sometime, Hannah, and just, I want to hear how things have gone for you here. It's when you know I'm here, it's kind of Bill's going to be this way, so I'm kind of freed up to be a little this way. I'll be very okay interested to know how, without my whatever you would call that, my ballast.
Yeah,
it's just the,
see what I morph into,
the anchor dragging you, slowing you down.
No,
whatever that is, it'll be really interesting to see how you balance out a little bit on that. Because I know probably, well, I mean, she's got really strong and good conviction.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm probably, well, I just, as I hold those, try to hold those two in tension.
Yeah.
I'm pretty willing to go pretty far to maintain as much unity as I possibly can.
I'm quicker mm-hmm just to kick people out. I'm just kidding. No.
Well,
hammers.
And again, I don't want to create this huge dichotomy between the two of us.
No, there isn't.
I think there is though, probably.
Just that balance. There's a balance there.
She would probably be more willing to say, aren't we going to end that relationship now with that? It's like, mm-hmm, I don't think so. We're going to hang on for a little bit.
Yeah.
I've just seen too many people turn around. I've seen too many people go on a little excursus for a while, and they're kind of.
And so, yeah, so there, you're willing to kind of give them that time.
Yeah.
To,
give them the time.
You.
And then when they really land, okay, then you say, are we really going to divide over this? And what does that mean?
Yeah.
You know, am I not going to allow you back in my building or, yeah. You know, so.
I hear you.
It's interesting. The people that I don't want back in the building, I have had people sort of self remove themselves.
Initiate, yeah. So, yeah.
Because I wasn't dogmatic enough for them on their discipleship program.
Self-ram.
And they had their thing from their pastor that was, you know, you can tell when someone's
evaluating
you.
Yeah. In that aspect, is usually the other person is not willing to strive for unity. It has to be my way or the highway.
Well, yeah, they had their list and I wasn't answering all their questions, right? And here's the thing. I knew exactly the questions they were. I knew exactly where they were going with the whole thing. And it's like, I can tell you where you're going before you are.
Yeah.
And I think I'm actually in certain ways just as orthodox biblically as you are. In fact, I think I could probably explain it better than you can, but they've got their little cue cards they're jumping through, and then they're like, I don't think this is going to work. I'm like, okay, well, you just just
self-selected
out. Yeah. That's okay. But it was like, yeah, that's just not how discipleship works.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Somebody once said, you know, how many churches would accept Jesus as their head pastor for very long?
So few. And
it's like, you know, the committee, he's run out on a rail. It's like, be careful. And again, I know some of these are just things that sort of stir the pot a little bit. And,
I love that you were saying this, that there's this tension between purity and unity. Now, when Jesus comes back, those are going to be, you know, they're going to be one. There's going to be a perfect synchrony between those two things.
I agree.
But while we live in this fallen state, right, and while we're still struggling and going through all of our sanctification, there tends to be a tension there. But I think it's important also to hold on to the fact that part of unity is purity, and part of purity is unity. Like, whether or not we recognize there is this tension, there is an aspect to it, because you think of this idea of oneness and holiness, right? And it's really this idea where they come together. There is a wholeness, a completeness.
Yeah.
And you can't have wholeness and completeness with lack of purity, right? And you can't have unity without that. And so
I think that's a really good point.
It's interesting. We can't claim purity without there being unity, nor can we claim unity without there being some
form of
purity.
And both those are going to be found in Christ and only in Christ.
Only in him.
My purity is 100%
him. Exactly.
This finished work on the cross. Well, and I am being made like him. I love the verse that says, we will be like him for we shall see him as he is. There's something about seeing him, about meditating on him.
Come on.
And that goes back to, you know, Romans 12, 1 and 2, the renewing of your mind.
Yep.
This thing.
Yep.
Which also we've talked about this. What images are you letting into your mind all the time? And it's amazing, you're around a certain kind of group of people for a while, and all of a sudden I'll find in my mind, even if not outwardly, my mind will go to worse language.
Yeah. Yeah.
Than I had if you're just exposed to it longer and longer.
Absolutely.
And it's not that I want to be, I certainly don't want to be a holier than thou in an attitude, but I do want to be holy.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you what, when you are freed from sin in a way that's been habitual sin or it's just been the way your mind has thought, it is truly true freedom.
Yeah.
I mean, to be able to go through life and not just be dragged down by your own thoughts and attitudes and just expressions of sin in one way or the other.
Yeah.
So to me, that unity and that purity you're right. They go hand in hand with Christ. And there's something that you should, here's how I've heard it said. The nature of the Trinity is such that there's three.
Exactly.
Three is the smallest community there is.
Absolutely.
Where you can have, now two is a pair or a couple.
Exactly.
But with three, you can love this way.
Yeah.
And you know, you can love this way.
Yep.
But in a Trinity, you and I can turn shoulder to shoulder and love.
And two can love one, right?
And when we do that together, when we love the third person, you and I are sharing a different kind of love together.
Exactly.
And there's something about that shared mutual love for a third person or something outside ourselves that is another kind of love that I think is
absolutely
completely based in the triune nature of God. So anyway, that kind of unity, there is a purity in that. And of course, you know, when you look and when you're married and you have that little person growing up,
that's you experience that.
There is something different there.
Absolutely.
And you say, wow, it's not just that I love you.
Yeah.
We love each other in a deeper way because we love that little person together. We share that. There's a bond there. So when we love Christ together.
Together. Yeah.
There is something there, and you kind of look at each other, you know, sometimes like
well, and then
just got an inside joke.
Yeah.
So can you believe this? Can you believe the view?
Right.
I just think that's, it's bonding, and it's what, it's the kind of community that God made us to be in. That's a pure, there's a purity that community. And the places that you get other kinds of community, people say, oh, that sounds terrible to me. I want my community to be where, you know, at the rock concert, fishing, on the football field, okay, there's a kind of community there, but they're all just shadowy expressions of the genuine community we have in Christ.
Yeah.
And I think we've talked about this. I love people. I look to reach out, but there are times when I just want to go, I just want to be with a small group, or just, I want to just have some genuine worship with people that we really do agree together on the nature of Christ.
And
so that there's something rejuvenating about
absolutely.
But that fuels me to be able to go and reach out and seek that,
because you're not supposed to just have one or the other,
right?
Only one or the other, right? It's that idea of, you're right, there's a place where you can be revitalized, you can be rejuvenated, and then you can be fueled to go.
Hannah, either you've got some deep thoughts brewing, or you're just, or you're just sleeping.
I'm hitting the wall a little bit.
So what's it called? I've held you guys pretty much long enough, but I want to at least close with this opportunity of just kind of sharing ways that people can partner with the Biblical Study Center. So you mentioned there's this beautiful aspect of when you're able to shoulder by shoulder with another person, love a third person. And I think we are meant to do that in community. Believers, we're supposed to love Christ together. There's also this beautiful aspect of it to where with Christ we can love another. And so with Christ, what are some ways that others can love the Biblical Study Center and the students here on campus and the ministers that come through? What are some ways that they can really help love on what's happening here?
Well, I've got thoughts on that. I want to give you.
You go.
You meet. I'll go, and then if you want to add anything. you know, I'd say one of the things that we hear more than anything, I've never heard of the Biblical Study Center.
Exactly.
Or the best-kept secret in the best
unity starts with awareness, is what I say.
And here's what's interesting. When people think about supporting this ministry, it's like, we have financial supporters. We have a couple of foundations that are part of our annual budget, and that's huge for us. And, you know, ideally, there would be a group of churches across the Treasure Valley that see this as a point of contact with the community, where they say, we're going to give something monthly financially, $100 or $500, whatever it is. But beyond that, and this is where it's very interesting, everyone who says, oh, you should go fundraise, you need to get connected with the churches. And the reality of this is like, I'm just going to be raw honest here. The reality of working with churches is, this isn't even a blame. This is just, here's the conditions out there. Churches are, their nose is just barely above the water to a lot of them. So this isn't like, oh, poor me. None of the churches care. They're all selfish. I just think, similar to what has happened with the campus ministries here.
Yeah.
Every campus minister, their nose is just above the water. They're trying to do stuff. So I've been able to step in and be a help and encouragement to them.
Yeah.
And we've partnered, and, you know, we've
helped
each other. It's harder to do that with the churches. Here's an example. We had someone lined up. We were going to give an announcement to Godzilla's in the house. we were going to give an announcement at a local church that had a young person's gathering. And they were, we actually, Matt Hanna was in that meeting. We're meeting, and it was pretty excited. Hey, here's an opportunity for some of your young people to take a class for credit, Bible class, everything in me. And as I explained it, was, this is, you know, would it help your ministry if some of the leaders were more biblically educated. Mm-hmm. Wow, this is a great thing. Let's do this. And we were all scheduled to do it. And you know, they left here. And then I got a call about 45 minutes later, or it was, you know, text or whatever. It said, hey, just talk with one of our elders. And, you know, this leader was kind of new there, didn't really know the policies. And the elder told me that we don't do these kinds of announcements. Just shut me down. And I'm like, you know, I understand a lot, but rarely have I gotten to the point where I don't understand to the point of, well, I feel kind of a snarky anger in me. It's like, are you kidding me? Can I talk to this person? Yeah, really? It's just like, this is just stupid.
Yeah.
And this is how you, what exactly are you protecting against? Heresy? Yeah. You know, have you checked us out?
Yeah.
Anyway, I know I had a bit of an attitude there. Hannah, you were probably way better attitude. Follow up, though,
just found out that there, that particular church is someone from that church is wanting to hand out our stuff among like smaller community groups.
Right.
In that church.
Just don't let the elders know.
Right? This couldn't come from like the announcement at the front of the stage or something like that. I don't know.
Right, yeah.
But there are open doors that...
You keep defending him. So I'm just kidding. Yeah. No, I just... that's hard because I understand... Like, I know all the practicalities of leading a ministry, but I'm so convinced that you can't just get myopic about writing for your brand.
And,
you know, honestly, I've been a part of True Hope Collister, and Pastor Matt there has been just wonderful about championing what we're doing and supporting us and that. So I just, that to me, and that's why I'm there. I mean, he's a humble pastor who preaches the word, is honest about struggles, and it's hard to follow Jesus.
Yeah.
But it's also the only way. I mean, this is it. So that's cool. Why we've been there. I've just loved that. And, maybe I just said I don't have a bad attitude and then I just sounded, well, that's a terrible attitude. But honestly, I you get frustrated.
Yeah.
And it's like, who is, like, what verse did you get that policy from?
You know?
Because I just think when we try to run the church, the latest business fad manual, I think we're doing a disservice to the kingdom. Mm. I think we have to take honestly and sincerely these things that are commanded in scripture, which are love one another. So anyway. I feel like Hannah really is just itching to have the final say here. This should be, I think Hannah could probably wrap this up with just a short 20-minute monologue. What do you say, Hannah?
Maybe a short 20-minute nap. That's where I'm at right now. This time of day, I just totally hit the wall. That's kind of how it goes.
Blood sugar. She needs some of your great.
Cool. I know. Have some. Hannah's
dad. That's great. Their family business.
Yeah.
One of them is caramel corn.
That's really good.
I'm sorry. Kettle corn. Yes. Yeah. So we ended up with a bag of that after the Saturday night. We had a kind of going away party and.
Yeah.
That's really
I texted good. Hannah. I said, have two people ever eaten an entire bag of your kettle corn before?
I told
her. Asking for a friend.
Maybe.
Because it's like that.
That stuff
is addictive.
Man.
Anyway.
Yeah.
And they also printed our t-shirts and gear for the center. Yeah. It's been great.
Yeah.
Your family. So it's going to be with Bill gone. It's going to be the Cook family show around here.
All right. All right. Well,
thank you for having us and for you coming all the way here taking the time.
This is great. Thank you guys. I really appreciate your guys' time. Like I said, I love what you guys are doing here. And I think that, like you said, awareness is just a big thing. So hopefully just spreading the word, right?
Yeah.
Just spreading the word. I am convinced that every single church out there likely has somebody in their congregation who would love to help out ministering to students at the BS. At the BSU campus, and would love to be a part of some of the things happening here at the Biblical Studies Center, but they just need to know that it's a thing.
Right, and that,
that's our new slogan. How about that?
Right. They just need to know. So,
and thanks to Nathaniel for how you have partnered with us. I mean, doing the lunch, you know,
that was great.
Last semester, we really enjoyed that. That was a huge blessing, and my vision would be too for more churches just to. take a week and just, you know, maybe provide a lunch or at least help serve a lunch or something and just kind of get to know what's happening here, you know, and
or maybe that college pastor or young person that says, exactly, I'm just gonna go, they get a free lunch out of the deal.
Yeah, exactly. Or just go mingle.
Yeah. What I found is that this is a hard ministry to describe in a compelling way. I can show you a photo of a starving child and you're gonna be grabbing your wallet. Yeah, it's like, oh my goodness, I can make a difference. I describe this to you and it can sound like, hey, would you help smooth the way for middle-class college kids? That is not what it is. Yeah. I mean, people are dying out there. They're depression, anxiety, suicide, debauchery. I mean, college camp. And then even deeper and worse than that is the worldview that is just getting completely propagated.
Yeah.
It's not, are these people going to be physically dead?
Yeah.
But are we preparing a generation of committed Christian believers to be the salt and light that our culture needs in the next generation?
Yeah.
Some of it is political leaders. Some of it's business leaders. A lot of it is just people who are living out their life in the integrity of being a Christ follower. And I tell you what, a single Christ follower can change in the makeup of an entire meeting or classroom or family or anything. And that's what we're trying to produce here.
Absolutely. Well, and you guys talk about that hospitality being one of your stools. Our church, one of our values is radical hospitality.
Mm,
we
love that.
Believe.
I'm going to switch to your church. Sorry, Matt. No,
but we wholly believe that is where you can really start to develop some relationships. And that's something that, unfortunately, that's something that a lot of people in the world don't view the church as having.
Yeah.
Having hospitality. Yeah. I've talked to far too many people who don't feel like they would be welcome at a church.
Yeah.
So just even to be able to invest into a ministry right here on college campus, where some of the students may feel like they're not welcome at a church, they're uncomfortable going to a church, but to go and experience open arms and hospitality from Christians.
Yeah.
That in itself can help smooth the road into a church or into a biblical community.
We had someone come up at my going away party on Saturday and thanked me. She's from a Middle Eastern country.
Yeah.
And she said, thank you for what you're doing here. Thank you. You will be missed. And I think there's a part of me that thinks she thought, like, if I'm leaving, they're shutting down the center or something. Mm. But it was very, I don't know where she's at on the spiritual spectrum. We have had Muslims and some Hindus come to Christ. Yeah. It's been exciting. But there's also just, who knows, at some point down the road that because someone met Hannah, they're going to discourage someone from pressing a button on the nuclear weapon. And I know it's kind of like outlandish.
No, I agree though.
The personal ties.
Yeah.
Are powerful when you anybody knows in war, they weren't the Japanese people, they became the Japs because you dehumanize them, and then when you do that, you make them weird aliens, then you are able to kill them.
Yeah.
But when you know someone, and they're your brother, the famous World War One moment in the trenches when Christmas Eve, the French and the Germans came out and kicked a soccer ball around and sang Christmas carols. It's like they didn't want them to do that because they want them to be enemies.
Exactly.
And it's like you guys, the people in the trenches had more in common than the leaders who were trying to go to war.
Exactly.
That to me is, and maybe this is what we're doing in a certain kind of love here. So anyway,
well, and you talk about being in the trenches, I mean, you guys are literally right here in the trenches.
Well, God bless you for what you're doing. I love your church. I love the radical hospitality, and we need to keep partnering.
Absolutely. Have thank you, guys. Thank you guys so much.
Oh, all right, you, all appreciate right. it.
Thank you for joining us for the In Hope podcast. Please subscribe and share to make sure we can keep getting out more content like this. The In Hope podcast is a small part of the ministry of In Hope, which is dedicated to help strengthening the unity of the body of Christ. You can support us in this by visiting inhope.tv to donate and following us on Instagram. Thank you
and we hope to see you on Instagram and back next week for another episode of the In Hope Podcast.